Are you living a life that feels good? Could it be better? Welcome to the Pursuit of You podcast. I'm Jocelyn Kate. What does it mean to be in the pursuit of you? Identifying and validating your own feelings, communicating them in healthy ways, and building a network of people who will love and respect you in all the ways you deserve so you can experience ultimate happiness through emotional connection.
Today, I wanted to talk about this idea of radical responsibility. Whenever I bring up this idea of radical responsibility, I think the main question exists around what it means to be radical in something. And, you know, radical responsibility is really accepting the full scope of responsibility. And so it's really about a perspective. And it's about a perspective of finding the levers of control and constantly exploring where you are able to access change or exit a situation or let something go. And, you know, there's so many reasons that we can accept responsibility for our situation. But the most important thing to remember is that if we do not accept responsibility for our situation or for whatever situations we find ourselves in, then we are surrendering that responsibility to somebody else. And it can be difficult to embrace the idea of radical responsibility because radical responsibility and radical blame are two sides of the same coin. And it, depending on your perspective, it can be difficult to accept responsibility without viewing it as blame. And one thing that people like to protect themselves from is the perspective of others. And we all, you know, I, as a recovering people pleaser, as a recovering perfectionist, I absolutely wanted to protect myself from other people's perspectives. And, you know, the reality is that people will use their perspective against you. And people do use their perspective about you in order to manage your behaviors and your actions. And that truth can be so difficult to contend with. And because people can do that, they can use blame and they can use fault to attempt to sort of guide our behaviors and steer our ship. And if you're not operating with your own North Star, it can be difficult to resist the forces that are attempting to control you through blame and guilt and fault and through negative opinions. And when we allow negative opinions to influence our behaviors, we're not making choices in service of our highest self. We're not making choices out of, you know, honor and respect for our inner voice or for our deepest needs, but we are instead making survival-based choices in an attempt to navigate any sort of disappointment or rejection. And so it can be so difficult to embrace the idea of radical responsibility when people will use perspectives against you. And that can be so difficult to allow people to blame you and allow people to use their perspectives against you. And so what I like to say is that radical responsibility and radical blame, they are two sides of the same coin. And that means they're not opposites. It's just that if I give you heads of a nickel, I'm also giving you tails of a nickel. And you can flip it over. You can look at whichever side you want to look at. But the side you look at is going to influence your thoughts. It's going to influence the way that you see your situation. And so if you're looking at the responsibility, then you're able to see levers of control and you're able to make decisions to change your situation. If you're seeing it as blame, that's more of a victim mindset approach. When we view the situations we're in through a lens of blame and fault, we tend to avoid our specific areas of responsibility because we don't want perspectives used against us because we don't want rejection and shame and guilt to be used against us. And, it's so important to when you want to embrace the idea of radical responsibility, and I encourage this. I always encourage embracing radical responsibility because it gives us an opportunity to see where we can make our own situation better. And we are always existing in cooperation with something else. We are always existing within a system. And, that we sometimes engage in this concept of hyperindependence. And in this hyper-independent state, we believe that we have more control over things than we do, or we believe we have more influence over things than we do. And then we can start getting wrapped up in the stories, and we can start getting wrapped up in the fantasy plane of what could be. And if I start doing that, like there's no guardrails in the fantasy plane. And that's why I talk about a physical practice being such an important piece of a wellness practice. It's so important to be physical because a physical practice will reorient us with the guardrails of reality. In the fantasy plane, I can hop, skip to the moon made of cheese. But when I'm taking steps in reality, the truth is it takes some process for me to get on a spaceship and get in. To space and go to the moon, that's a rock. And that's the steps of reality. That's where the physical plane is going to carry me into what is true. And so when we are operating too heavily in that fantasy plane, we can tell ourselves these stories about, this person's perspective might mean this, or this person seeing me this way might mean this will happen. And we'll get caught up in these steps, and we talk about, we see those steps as a protection method, where we say, well, we're just preparing ourselves for outcomes, and we're just considering all pathways. And it's really not any different than me fantasizing about jumping to the moon. Because when we are operating in these stories, there are no guardrails and anything is possible, even something that's one step outside of reality. And of course, this example with me jumping to the moon is many steps outside of reality. That's an obvious example, but sometimes we step one step outside of reality and we tell ourselves, this thing will happen or this thing could happen. And, when we're actually walking within the physical plane, when we're allowing the conscious plane to meet with the physical plane, that's where we really contend with reality. And, when we're not taking action, but we're instead thinking too much in that fantasy plane, that's when we get stuck. That's when we become stuck. We sort of block ourselves in, we create all these walls. This pathway doesn't work because of this. This pathway doesn't work because of that. And then we're not taking action because all of the action options have appeared to be a dead end or unsafe. And the idea of taking responsibility for the situations that you find yourself in is really about motivating yourself to action. It's really about pushing yourself into operating within the physical plane and using the guardrails of reality to really guide your story in tandem with, the conscious sort of fantasy plane. Because we do have that is our gift as humans is that we have this idea of conscious thought. We have awareness. We have time binding capabilities where we are able to stack our experiences and we call them memories. And in the opposite of that is that we're able to project our experiences, which we would call fantasies or dreams. And this ability to think in past and present is it's a helpful tool, but at the same time, it can also create self-sabotage where we can use it to our own detriment. And it's really about a balance of using the fantasy plane to think and consider, and then also sort of continuing to bring that fantasy plane down to the physical plane and allowing it to be explored, really step by step. One thing that I like to remind myself of especially when I am operating in a place of accepting responsibility, is that the opposite of responsibility is not blame. And when somebody takes responsibility for something, that doesn't mean that what they took responsibility for is their fault. And so when we allow ourselves to take responsibility for our situation, that doesn't mean that we have assumed fault for that situation. And of course, many people have gone through accepting responsibility for things that were their fault. I have done that. I have certainly committed, and this came out, in couples counseling with my husband. I engaged in toxic behaviors. I was codependent and controlling in many ways. And this was toxic behavior, and this was reflected back to me and my husband's resistance to it, which I viewed as him not cooperating. But what was really happening is that I was overstepping. I was really overstepping boundaries. And so that piece of disruption in our relationship, that was my fault. And and it's difficult because it's hard to see things that are your fault. But at the same time, when I accept responsibility, our relationship became so much more peaceful because I was able to communicate my feelings and my needs in a more responsible way. But there are other things, my past experiences and other things that led to my codependency and led to the other sort of people pleasing and perfectionism. The roads that led there, they were not my fault. And that doesn't mean that I am not now responsible for taking care of what that has produced. And so what I want to say here is the opposite of responsibility is not fault, but the opposite of responsibility is neglect. And so when we don't accept responsibility for something, we are neglecting it. And this is where, I really refer back to the radical responsibility. Radical responsibility is if you're capable, you're responsible. That can be in regards to so many things. And I know that's hard because, I think of myself, like one thing I struggle a lot with is I'll see on mom's pages a lot of people looking for childcare, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I'll think like maybe I could help them and watch their kid, but that's not a good idea. Like that's not a good I'd have to go through like licensing and all that kind of stuff, and so and insurance and everything, and so that I want to like jump in and help is not really in service of my path, of my family. And as much as I want to help, I'm telling myself I'm capable, therefore I can be responsible. I'm sort of getting myself caught up in that fantasy plane. I don't have the capability there. And so knowing what the capability is really knowing the limits. That's about understanding, how people's perspectives can really influence our choices and our behaviors. Because there are probably plenty of people who would say, no, it's fine for you to watch somebody's kids for 6 hours every day. And there are people who would say, like, oh, you're being too part of the system and too hard. By saying that you wouldn't watch kids, you're not helping people out. And so there's so many different perspectives that could come out of that. There's so many different, and then of course there are people that would say you absolutely cannot do that. That's not legal. That's not safe. And so there's obviously all of these perspectives that could come out of that one situation. And my truest intention is that I want to help, is that I want to support my community, is that I want to be there for people. But it's not possible in a snap to support people and to help people in that way. And if I am to take in every perspective around that situation, I'm not going to be led anywhere because the perspectives range the entire spectrum of you should definitely do that to you should definitely not do that and everything in between. And what it comes down to is where am I capable of being responsible? And the truth is, I am capable of being responsible in various ways. That isn't one of them. And if I start working in the fantasy plane and not operating in the reality plane, and this brings us right back to that moon example here, where I say, well, maybe I could help take care of their kids. I'm stepping one step outside of reality, just one step outside of reality there, where I'm saying, like, it could be possible. when the steps are taken, that's when reality comes through. That's when you really have to contend with what is possible. And when we do that, we can recognize where we're truly capable within the physical plane and where we can accept responsibility. And we can see clearly where we have to release fault and blame and how perspectives can really influence us in negative ways. And so, the opposite of responsibility is neglect. But it's important to understand what you can truly take responsibility of before you determine yourself having neglected something. Because there is, of course, along the spectrum of the victim mindset who believes that they are not responsible for enough. And then there's, codependent and people pleasers who believe that they are responsible for everything. And so the truth is really in the middle there, where you are responsible for as much as you have control over, and taking one step outside of reality is going to steer you in the wrong direction. And so, with the opposite of responsibility being neglect, it means that fault and blame are not going to solve any problems. When we operate from a place of fault and blame, that's really about emotional satisfaction. And that's about, identifying fault and blame is something to guide us towards boundaries. But it is not something that we can use as leverage to influence somebody else's behaviors. One of the things that I talk about in the Yoga for Family Values series in the system is how every person has absolute control over their personal or self-identification, behaviors, relationship participation, and perspectives. And so that means that as much as we want to tell ourselves we have the ability to influence someone else's behavior, we really have limited capacity to do that. And operating in the fantasy plane, we can get caught up in believing that we can influence somebody else's behavior. A lot of influencing somebody else's behavior is about shifting the mindset. So many people will use shame and guilt and blame and fault to shift somebody's mindset and force them to feel like they have to do something. And I'm sure you could probably think of many examples where you have seen that play out, either for the good or for the bad. Some people do that in a really horribly abusive way, and some people do it because the other party is neglecting child support. There are reasons that we use fault and blame and guilt and shame. And they do have a place in the world, but at the same time, they can be misused. And understanding radical responsibility is about knowing that people are going to misuse fault and blame and guilt and shame on you. And you are able to assume responsibility of whatever you're capable of. That's as far as you can go. And when we are able to recognize neglect, and we're able to recognize our capability and our capacity to respond to that neglect, it's solved with compassion. All of neglect, every kind of neglect that can exist, is solved with compassion. And when we're operating from a place of blame, we don't have the room for compassion. And so seeing our situation as our fault, we're in this situation, it's our fault. And we're in this situation and it's because I'm not good enough, it's because I didn't try hard enough, it's because I didn't do good enough. That really robs us of the ability to offer compassion to what we are experiencing in the physical plane in that moment. And seeing fault and blame rather than responsibility and neglect is what really keeps us from extending compassion in a healthy way. That we have responsibility for things doesn't mean we assume fault for when they go wrong or for that they're not perfect. We are not at fault for life not being perfect. And like I said, we're always operating as part of a system. We're always in cooperation with something or someone, whether that's, financial systems, government systems, family systems, a partner, friends, jobs, whatever we're doing, your local supermarket, whatever you're interacting with, It's a cooperation, and you don't get to be in control of all of it. And so that means if things go wrong, you don't also get to be at fault for all of it. That's, really where the physical plane gives us the reality of boundaries, is that we don't get to influence and control everything. And so then we also don't get to assume fault and shame and guilt for everything. But there are things. And when you accept radical responsibility, that's where you see your own levers of control. That's where you see the exit strategies. That's where you see, the change makers. You can make changes when you assume responsibility for whatever you can. And assuming responsibility is so much about exploring what you can do yourself. In my boundary setting workbook, I talk about the idea of control and release. And I think I've mentioned this before, but the idea of control and release is really about understanding that we operate in systems and, we control self, but we have to release others, and we have to release our influence to the system. Put it out there and do as much as you can and show up as best you can. But release it and be realistic about seeing the outcome. And it's so hard to not have expectations. It's so hard to think up something, to dream up something, to take steps towards that something, and then to not see the results that you want to see. It's so difficult. And we all have heard this kind of idea of, it's not the destination, it's the journey. But that's still a really difficult concept to grasp when every journey is really led by its destination. Every time we're on a journey, it's because we're expecting a destination. It's because we're moving towards a destination. And that destination could be maybe, a job or a career path that you want. That destination could maybe be building a family, getting married, and having kids. It could be, actually traveling and going somewhere. There's different things. There's different goals that propel us forward. And, our attachment to the goals and our attachment to the outcome is really what draws us towards taking the journey. And to think that we're just on the journey for the journey, that's really, it can feel like a hamster wheel, and that's exhausting. So what we look for is the carrot. And the balance is really an understanding that like alternating situation, the fact that we are drawn forward by our goals, and the understanding that our goals are not going to turn out the way that we see them, and in the vision that drew us forward, it's so important to our own peace and our own acceptance that we embrace the idea that we're not often going to meet the outcomes that are drawing us down the journey. When we find ourselves in these situations because we are pursuing a destination, we find ourselves in certain situations, a bad financial situation, a bad relationship, maybe you're not in a good place with your kids. When you find yourself in those situations, the best thing you can do for your own peace of mind is to see where you have influence and to take action in the spaces that you have influence over. And it's really important to remember that just because the situation you found yourself in is not your fault, doesn't mean that you're not the one neglecting it moving forward. And that's when we can start to sense that we're participating in toxic patterns. We can start to sense that, maybe I'm not in a bad financial situation, by my own fault. Perhaps I was born into generational poverty. But at the same time, to not take different steps or to not attempt different actions and assume, responsibility in certain areas, that's like a participation in continuing the cycle. And it's so hard. It's so hard. I say this all the time. When you are a cycle breaker, you're also a cycle starter. And one of the areas I think that we all get tripped up in, if, as a cycle breaker, if you're a cycle breaker, you might relate to this. One of the areas that we really get tripped up in is how to restart a cycle, or what does that even look like? And if you've experienced abuse or neglect or trauma, the opposite of that is really sort of a blank slate. There's no framework or model for what it looks like to be part of a, healthy functioning family. There's no framework to see what it's like to grow up in a stable home. And so in that regard, it can be such a barrier. It can be such a barrier to breaking the cycle that the part of the break is in the starting a new one. And starting a new cycle is, there's like dual energy being extended here, where you have to extend the energy to break the habits and the conditioning that you've received, but you also have to extend the energy to like restart and rethink and replace, the conditioning that you've experienced. And that is exhausting. That is exhausting. And I just shared something recently on Instagram where I said that just because you're not doing your best doesn't mean you're unworthy. And if you're a cycle breaker, you get that. You don't always have to be doing your best. It is exhausting. It is exhausting to have lived an unsupported life and then now have to be the person who supports yourself in creating a supported life. That's exhausting. And to flippantly talk about responsibility is it lacks awareness, right? I completely relate to the idea of resisting responsibility for the situations I found myself in. And that's because I had already been neglected so much. To be told that I'm neglecting myself, it felt very invalidating to what I had experienced. And that's kind of the paradigm that you find yourself in when you're a cycle breaker, is that you do cross into a point where you are neglecting yourself, where you are participating in the cycle, and that you were put into a cycle you didn't choose doesn't mean that you don't eventually become responsible for exiting it. Because we do grow into that awareness, and we do grow into that ability to really confront and judge and have opinions and discern. And we can see where we are engaging in sabotaging and toxic behaviors. We can see that. And when we look, when we take radical responsibility for our actions, when we say, I am going to look at everything I can control and I can influence, and I am going to see what I can change, how I can show up, that's when we're really able to exit those toxic cycles. And that's when we're really able to overcome the neglect that keeps us stuck in the bad patterns. Accepting radical responsibility is just searching for the levers of control. It's just constantly searching for where you have influence and where you can make changes. And one of the things I talk about in my boundary setting workbook, understanding the problem solving framework. The problem solving framework is included in the boundary setting workbook, but in the problem solving framework, I talk about how you identify your own problems. And so the framework is, step one is identify the problem. So you want to state your problem clearly. And step two is to determine if the problem is yours. And determining if the problem is yours means, can you change or solve the problem with your actions alone? And that's such an important piece. Can you make changes with your actions alone? Because as I talked about from the system, every person has absolute control over their own behaviors. And while we can attempt to influence somebody else's behaviors, they have the ultimate control. And so everything must happen through cooperation. It must happen through agreement and understanding. And, when we're operating in that way, it can feel so powerless. It can feel so powerless that we can't force somebody to see our perspective. We can't force somebody to respect us. We can't force somebody to make us feel safer. We really can only ask for cooperation. And if they don't cooperate, we just have to draw the line. And that's something, it's so important to understand when you're looking for radical responsibility. It's so important to understand where you have control depends on what you can do with your own behaviors. Because you don't have control over somebody else's behaviors, you don't have control over somebody else's perspective, over their personal identification, or especially over their relationship participation. And that can be so difficult. As I talked about, being codependent and really being controlling with my husband, that was me wanting to assure myself of his relationship participation. Luckily, I have a really great husband, and so when I released it back to him, he does a better job than I could have made him do. But we want to control someone else's relationship participation. We want to make them love us the way we want to be loved. We want to make them love their kids the way we think the kids should be loved. We want to make our spouse respect our parents, their parents the way that we think they should. But the reality is we can't. We don't have any control over somebody else's relationship participation. And so we really have to release that control back to them. And when we're accepting radical responsibility, it's also about releasing control back to the people who ultimately do have it. So when we're talking about radical responsibility, it's truly about understanding that the opposite of responsibility is not fault. The opposite of responsibility is not blame. The opposite of responsibility is neglect. Neglect is solved with compassion. So we can always use compassion for ourselves, compassion for others, and we can solve neglect. But the boundaries come in where we understand what we have control over solving. Because we can't, as I, went through that example of, moms needing childcare, I cannot solve everybody's problem. I'm not the solution to everybody's problem. And that I can't doesn't mean I'm neglecting them. I don't have the capability to be responsible for those things. And it's so important that I release myself and I don't step one foot outside of reality and tell myself that I can help. Because the truth is I can't. And when I am merging, conscious with physical energy, that's where the truth comes through and that's where the reality comes in. So it's important that we know that what we have control over is really in cooperation with all the systems that we're a part of. The opposite of responsibility is not blame. But if you are responsible for something, just because it wasn't your fault, you can still be neglecting it because we are responsible for ourselves. We are responsible for our own thoughts, perspectives, our behaviors, and our relationship participation. We each are responsible for that individually. And when we don't take radical responsibility, we are neglecting it. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. That doesn't mean I'm a bad person. We all find ourselves in difficult situations. And like I said, just because you're not doing your best doesn't mean you're unworthy. Your life is going to be sprinkled with moments of your worst. That's true. But we can accept radical responsibility by confronting that and taking control of what we have the capability to take control over. I hope that offered a new perspective on accepting responsibility for you. And I hope it helped draw the lines around what it means to be blamed and to be at fault. Because I think blame and fault are such difficult concepts that, people, as I was saying, use shame and guilt, to really influence and control our behaviors. And, when we are extending too much compassion, we can get caught up in that cycle, of allowing our behaviors and our actions and our patterns to be influenced by other people's perspectives. But we don't have to do that. And when you accept responsibility for everything that is within your control, you are allowed to release what is under their control to them. I would love to hear your feedback. Please email me anytime at hello@themiddaylatte.com. You can find me on Instagram at Jocelyn Kate. Or you can find me on Facebook. Join my Facebook group. It is a free group. I go live every Tuesday talking about different mindfulness ideas. And you can find that Facebook group is called Mindfulness and Manifestation. I will include a link to this podcast description so that you can join from there. But also go to my website, get on my email list, and then you'll be able to stay in touch. I am writing a book this year, so I'm going to share some more information about that in the coming episodes. But if you're interested, you can go to my website and check out more details. My website is themiddaylatte.com. Sign up for the newsletter, find other podcast episodes. You can see where I've been a guest, and you'll also see about my book and everything else. So I would love to hear from you. Please send me an email, find me on Instagram, find me on Facebook, and I will talk to you in the next episode.